Today on Life Talk.
If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. If you want to know the way God looks at you, look at Jesus. He looked at us and had compassion on us and wanted to shepherd us and lead us and guide us and help us. He wanted to deliver us and set us free and heal us. And that means that's what God wanted to do.
You're listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. It's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and hear about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's exactly what we're going to hear from Pastor Jeff today. You may be stuck in traffic or even stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. And if for any reason you have to break away before the end of the program, you can always catch it at our website. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you. LifeTalkRadio.us. So let's go ahead and get right into today's message. Here's Pastor Jeff to set it up for us.
Hi, friends. Welcome to this edition of Life Talk. When we think of the book of Hebrews, we tend to think of some of the great passages we find about faith and perseverance, confidence in prayer, and so on. But what we don't often understand is who the book was written to and what the overarching message is. Today, we're launching a brand new study in Hebrews that I've simply called Better. I've given it that title because the number one word in Hebrews is better. Through Jesus, we have a better covenant, a better blood, a better priesthood, a better promise, and many other better things. So I encourage you to dive into this study with me. You might want to start by reading chapter 1 and just follow along. I believe our understanding of Jesus is going to really grow, and our faith is going to grow as well. So let's get started with an introduction to this incredibly rich book, the Book of Hebrews.
Tonight, we're going to just do an introduction to the Book of Hebrews, and then the first chapter. Let's just do a little bit of introduction. Let me just kind of bring you up to speed a little bit of the history of it. And then we'll dive right into the first three verses I could spend a month on. I'm not, but I could, because they're so loaded with incredible truth. But let's look now. The book of Hebrews is written to Jewish Christians. This is very important to remember, and to Jews who were considering leaving the Old Testament sacrificial system for the new covenant under Jesus Christ. Very important. So when you see what the book is called, Hebrews, all right, it's not hard to guess who it's written to. Amen? Jewish people. So the recipients, the Jewish Christians, and those that were kind of getting close to it, were under intense persecution, and some were contemplating returning to Judaism, going back to Judaism, back to their old life, we could say. And the writer admonishes them not to turn away from their only hope of salvation. So really, a lot of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, is in that vein. It's about don't go back. Don't turn back. Don't slide back into the life, the religion, the old ways you had before. You have latched on to the truth in Jesus. So because of persecution, don't consider going back to get out of the heat. The main message of Hebrews is that Jesus Christ is superior in every way to the old covenant instituted by Moses. He is superior. As such, those who are following Jesus should not be tempted to return to their former Hebrew ways of worship, for these have been replaced and surpassed by Jesus Christ. He's better, 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 better. As a matter of fact, the key word, one word, for this book of Hebrews is better. Can we say it together? Better. That's the key word of Hebrews. That's the gist of Hebrews, that Jesus and the new covenant are better than anything else available on the planet. Okay? And the word better in the book is used 13 times. There's 13 chapters, interestingly, so 13 times. The author is anonymous. We don't know who wrote it. I think it was Paul. Matter of fact, I see so many things in it that are Pauline or sound like Paul, that I really think it was Paul. But you know what? God didn't let us know for a reason. All we need to know is God wrote it. Amen? God wrote it. So some say Paul, some say Barnabas, some say Apollos wrote it. No, we don't know. But again, I think it was Paul. Now, it was written approximately 67 AD, So it was penned before the catastrophic destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, which, folks, was terrible. It was horrible. The destruction of Jerusalem was a catastrophe that Jesus predicted. Jesus had said, you see, this temple, there's not going to be one stone left upon another that's not going to be torn down because you did not know the day of your visitation. And so this book was written about 3 years before that catastrophe. Its purpose is to present the Lord Jesus Christ as perfect and superior in comparison to anything Judaism and the Old Covenant had to offer. Now, just breaking it down real quickly in chapters 1 through chapter 10, around verse 18, the author repeatedly demonstrates Jesus Christ as being superior to the angels. Quote, let all the angels of God worship him, but not just preeminent over the angels, but preeminent over Moses. That was a big deal. To tell the Jewish people that Jesus was superior over Moses was almost like cussing, because Moses was Moses, right? But the writer of Hebrews is letting us know in this book that Jesus is superior to the great man of God, Moses, who talked to God face to face. And he's also superior over the Old Testament priesthood, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, I'm going to be talking about Melchizedek later because he's a really strange character in the Bible. He's only mentioned 3 times in the entire Word of God, and I'm going to talk to you about him. Now, the writer explains that the new covenant is greater than the old covenant because Jesus was the perfect permanent sacrifice rather than the Old Testament sacrifices. He was above the shedding of animal blood. The author also points out the power and the authority of the Word of God. Let's read this together. This is one of my favorite verses. Are you ready? For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the hearts. Man, the Word of God is so powerful. Amen? It's powerful. How many of you love the Word of God? Amen. Now, in chapters 10 through 13, the writer explains that faith is superior to the works required by the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant law, summarized in the Ten Commandments, could never save because nobody could perfectly live it out. Amen? Nobody could live it out. So guess what? The Ten Commandments were not given to save us. They were given to show us the exceeding sinfulness of our sin. All right? Because as soon as we tried to live them out, we realized quickly, I can't live this out. It's like a barbell on the floor in a gym, and it's got 1,000 pounds on it. And you go up to pick it up, and you can't begin to pick it up. You try, and you struggle, and you sweat. And let's just say somebody told you, if you don't pick it up, you're going to go to hell. Say, oh man, I better pick this up. It's got 5 weights on each side, 10 weights, 1,000 pounds. You say, no matter how hard I try, I can't pick it up. What am I going to do? I can't pick it up. And then a brute, a muscular Hercules kind of guy comes into the gym and he says, what you can't do, I'll do for you. And he picks it up and he begins to do reps with it. And then he says, now, if you put your faith in me, God will attribute to you. He will say, you picked it up. He will attribute it to you. He will say, now you picked it up because he picked it up. You put your faith in him and you trust him to pick it up for you. So I am not saved by my works. I am saved by putting my faith in the only one who could ever pick it up.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so Paul says, no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. And then in Galatians, again, this is one of Paul's mantras. He says again, yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law, not by picking up the weights because we can't do it. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law, because nobody obeyed the law. Amen? Nobody did it. For no one, he closes out this verse 16 in Galatians 2, for no one will ever be made right with God By obeying the law. Everybody say never. So anytime you try to be saved by your own good works, it's futile. You will never be made right with God by obeying the law. It's not going to happen. You can't do it. Don't try. Go to the one who picked it up for you. Amen. So the writer of Hebrews continuously points out the superiority of salvation by faith. He said, faith is the assurance of things you're hoping for, the conviction of things not seen. And of course, we all know that chapter 11 is Faith's Hall of Fame, where all the faithful individuals from the Old Testament are highlighted in this chapter. Faith in Jesus Christ is our source of salvation because he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. We even depend on him for our faith. Amen? Throughout the centuries, all are able to experience salvation through Christ because he's the same yesterday. He's the same today, and he's the same forever. If you're thankful that he picked up those commandments for you, give him a hand of praise tonight. Amen. Amen.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple: to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ. So it's our prayer that these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in, or drop us a line through our website, lifetalkradio.us. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Now, we're going to get into the book. That's just a real brief summary, highlighting it very briefly. But the writer begins with some really powerful Christology. Now, Christology is what you believe about Christ. And you know that I tell this congregation often, it matters what you believe about God. It matters a lot. Well, it matters everything, what you believe about Christ. What do you believe about Christ? You know, what do you believe about Jesus? Somebody listening by radio later, what do you believe about Jesus? Because your eternal soul hinges on what you believe about Jesus. So the writer of Hebrews, right off the bat, is going to tell us exactly who Jesus was and is. He says in verse 1, Hebrews chapter 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us, how, everybody? By his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Wow. All throughout the Old Testament, when you read your Bible, you see God speaking to his people, or even people that weren't his people, in various and sundry ways. He spoke by dreams. We see that a lot. I've been reading about Joseph through the Bible in a year devotional every morning. Here's Joseph. His whole spiritual journey began with a dream, several dreams. God spoke to him by a dream. He spoke audibly to Moses. Moses going through the wilderness, he looks and he sees that bush burning but not consumed. He draws near to it, and the voice of God spoke audibly out of that bush, that burning bush, and called him to the ministry. We see God speaking through visible signs like the weather, famine, rain, blessings, and miracles. He spoke through the major and minor prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, all the way down to Malachi. He spoke. All through the Old Testament, God talked. Amen. But now, the writer of Hebrews says, in these last days, he has spoken exclusively and fully and completely and emphatically and finally through his Son. Amen. Notice the writer claims to be already in the last days. The writer of Hebrews, who wrote this before the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD, in 67 AD, he believed he was in the last days. He said, God has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that the last days began with the appearance of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. And that kicked in what the Bible calls the last days. So where does that leave us? We're in the last of the last days. But all these centuries, it's been the last days. And so I believe the last days are the age of grace. The age of grace, when whosoever will, let him come. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God is no respecter of persons. If you want Jesus, you can have Jesus. If you want salvation, you can have salvation. So thank God we're in the last of the last days. I believe that the Lord is very near at the very door. But all these 21 centuries, we've been in the last days. Now, note that the writer immediately points out what John also tells us in the first chapter of his gospel. Look what he tells us about Jesus. Here I'm reading John. All things were made through him, that is Jesus. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Wow. Now listen to the writer of Hebrews who says, through whom, that is Jesus, he, God, made the worlds. Through Jesus, God made the worlds. Amen. Jesus was the agent of creation. Everything we see, hear, taste, touch, smell, the universe in all of its glory and grandeur, the amazing creation that we see, things visible, things invisible, spirits, material things, molecules, atoms, the atomic structure, universes without end, the sun, the moon, the stars. All of those things flowed through the fingertips of Jesus Christ. Everybody say heavy. And then he says in verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. Boy, that's a mouthful right there. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now let me unpack this. The word brightness, he said, by the brightness of his glory. It means the reflected splendor, and that's important because Jesus reflected God. God is invisible. The Bible says that God is a spirit. We can't see God with the natural eye, and no man can see him and live. God is a spirit, but now Jesus came to put a face on God. And so he's the reflection of the glory of God. That's what that word brightness means, the reflected splendor. The outbeaming is another interpretation of the Greek word, of the Father's glory. We see this outbeaming of God's glory on the Mount of Transfiguration, where his appearance changed dramatically in their presence. Remember, Jesus took the inner three, Peter, James, and John, and took them up onto the mount. And when they got up there, suddenly Jesus began to transform in front of them. And the Bible says his appearance changed. Now they're just looking at him. He's talking to them. And maybe he just kind of stretched out his arms. I don't know. But suddenly his appearance changed dramatically in their presence. And his face shone with heavenly glory, clear and bright like the sun, and his clothing became as white as light.
Amen, amen.
He was changed in front of them, transformed in front of them. That's the amplified version there. And so here you have the Son of God. He's bright. He's shining forth. He is reflecting like a mirror the glory of God. So what is heaven going to be like? Well, the Father in glory shines like the sun. We're told we won't even need the sun in heaven because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will also become the light that lights that place up because he shines with the brightness of God. And this is one of the real points of the writer of Hebrews. He wants us to understand, as did Paul, that's why I think it's Pauline, but Paul did as well in Colossians and other places, that Jesus was not just a first century guy walking around saying cool things to people that were worth remembering and quoting, this nice kind of hippie type with long hair and a beard and blue eyes and nothing what he really looked like. But no, this was God wrapped in human skin. And he was a perfect reflection of God. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. If you want to know the way God feels about children, look at Jesus. If you want to see what God thinks about women, look at Jesus. If you want to see what God, the way God looks at you, look at Jesus. He looked at us and had compassion on us and wanted to shepherd us and lead us and guide us and help us. He wanted to deliver us and set us free and heal us. And that means that's what God wanted to do. He's the perfect. As a matter of fact, the next part of the verse says, He was also the express image of God's person. Jesus perfectly displayed the attributes of the invisible God. As the Nicene Creed proclaims, Jesus is God of God, light of light, very God of very God. When it says he's the express image, that comes from a Greek word used to describe an engraving tool that would carve out the exact likeness of something. You know, like a whittler, a sculptor, using an engraving tool. Or somebody that works with leather, engraving something into the leather. It then, as time passed, the same Greek word was used to describe the image on a coin, like the image of Caesar on a coin. Like we see George Washington on a dollar bill. All right? And that's the exact likeness. That's the likeness of George Washington. It was the likeness of Caesar on the coin. The Greek word here, that phrase, express image, is telling us Jesus was the exact likeness of God. That's why it's so much fun to read the red ink in your Bible. If you've got a red letter Bible, I mean, all the things that Jesus said, or just to study the Gospels and watch the way he dealt with people, taught people, freed people, healed people, encouraged people, forgave people. Watch him, follow him, track him, because you're watching exactly the way God would do. Amen. Amen. Jesus told Philip, he said, "If I've been with you for so long a time, Philip, and you don't even know me yet, nor recognize clearly who I am, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Right. Oh my, isn't that powerful? Now that's either spoken by a total egomaniac or somebody telling you the truth. Can you imagine me saying, "Hey, if you've watched me, you've watched God"? You would be making a phone call on my behalf, right? So Jesus was either a megalomaniacal lunatic, or when he said something, as easily as he said this, it was true. "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Philip, just watch me and you'll be watching God in action." Now next we're told in this powerful verse that Jesus upholds all things by the word of his power. Man, this is just getting stronger with everything the writer is telling us. The word upholds means he's not only the creative word, but the sustaining providence of everything. He is, as one commentator says, he's the chain band of all things. He is also the guiding force of all things. He's the pilot and the steersman of everything. He's over it all. The universe is being held together by the word of his power. Paul wrote the very same thing in Colossians 1:17. He said, "He himself," that's talking about Jesus, "existed and is before all things. And in him, all things," do what, everybody? All things, let's say it together. All things hold together, are held together. His is the controlling, cohesive force of the universe. So let's walk with this a minute. The atomic structure is held together by the word of his power. The universe is held together by the word of his power. The planets turn on their axis at his permission. The entire universe and worlds without end are all upheld by the word of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Clearly, folks, we are not talking here about some first century nice guy tiptoeing through the religious tulips, saying nice things, as I already spoke. But this is very God we're reading about. God the Son. And that's what the writer of Hebrews wants us to understand. Jesus was God the Son. God the Son. He's God. He's co-equal with God. He is God the Son. Amen. So here we are in verse 3, just being knocked down with incredible truth about Jesus Christ. And it ends with this: when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high.
You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. It would mean the world to us to know how the program has helped you today. So take a quick minute and give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. And if you enjoy the program as much as we love bringing it to you, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. There are daily costs associated with the program, and we truly do depend on the faithful financial support of our listeners like you to allow us to be on this station. So please consider partnering with us today with your gifts to this ministry. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out to people everywhere. You can call us at 877-884-3111 or go to our website, lifetalkradio.us, and click on the Partner tab at the top of the homepage. Again, call 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Thank you for your loyal partnership. Finally, Pastor Jeff is the founder and senior pastor of the vibrant Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're ever in the area, we hope you'll stop by and say hi and let us know that you listen to the program. Pastor Jeff would love to meet you personally, too. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Life Talk.